Now, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I don't carry cash with me very often, but a few months back, I had a $100 bill from Christmas that was burning a hole in my pocket, and so I went to the store, and as I was in the checkout line, I handed the cashier this bill, and she took it, and she did something kind of funny with it. Maybe you've seen this before. She took out a pen and marked it. I had a fairly good idea what that was all about, but I was curious, and so I asked her about it, and she explained that that was how they, at least one quick way they can use to determine if the bill that they're being handed is real or if it's counterfeit, if it's fake. And so it turns out it was an iodine pen, and the way this works, that our currency has these cloth fibers in it that don't react with the iodine in the same way that a bill would if you made it on the church's color copier. Now, And trust me, I'm not telling you to do that. But what was interesting about that, obviously, counterfeits have been around for as long as currency has been. And it's pretty obvious why it's important to be able to tell the real thing from the fake. I mean, if I'd walked into that store and handed that $100 to the cashier, if it had reacted with the iodine, if it had come out that it was counterfeit, it wouldn't have been good. At best, I would have lost what I thought was $100. And at worst, they might have thought that I was the one who created that counterfeit, and then I would have to explain myself to the authorities. And for as bad as that can be, there are much worse things in this world than counterfeit bills. Much more costly things in this world than counterfeit bills. It's a sad fact that for every good gift God has created and given to us, Satan creates counterfeits. I mean, take the gift of music. It's hard to imagine us gathering together on a Sunday morning and not singing. It's hard to imagine this gathering happening without God's good gift of music. And yet Satan has crafted counterfeits. We've got a whole music industry built around glorifying sin in all of its forms. Take the gift of intimacy between a husband and wife. Satan peddles the idea to us, to our entire culture, that this gift of intimacy between a husband and wife, that it's not just exclusively for that relationship. That it isn't even exclusively between one man and one woman. Satan creates counterfeits for every good gift that God gives us, even the best gift that God has given us. Satan creates counterfeits of Jesus himself. And if you fall for one of these counterfeits, it's not just costly. Those costs become eternal consequences. While you may never have seen a counterfeit bill, I guarantee you, you've run into some of these counterfeit Jesuses. And I'm going to highlight just three of the most common counterfeit Jesuses that I see and that I've encountered. There's the self-help Jesus. There's the one option among many Jesus. There's genie in the bottle Jesus. Now, in our gospel reading for today, Jesus asks his disciples these two important questions. Who do people say that I am? And then he turns that question on his disciples and he says, now who do you say that I am? The reason Jesus asks his disciples this question is because he wants to be sure that they do not get taken in by any counterfeits. He wants to be sure that they know him for who he truly is. And the good news for you and I is that determining the real from the fake, it doesn't require any special equipment. You don't need an iodine pen. It doesn't require classes or years at the seminary. All it requires is the right question. It's a simple question. Why did Jesus come? And when you think about that for a moment, how would you answer that question yourself this morning? Why did Jesus come to this earth? I'm not looking for the list of possible reasons, just that one overriding reason why Jesus came. Because what you find is that the fake Jesuses, the counterfeit Jesuses, they answer that question very differently than the real Jesus. So imagine this scenario. You're sitting down in a coffee shop in the morning, And in sequence, in walk these three counterfeit Jesuses. So you sit down at the table at the coffee shop, and in walks counterfeit Jesus number one. Self-help Jesus joins you at your table. He sits down and you ask him that question. Why did you come to earth, self-help Jesus? Now, at first, his answer sounds at least a little bit like maybe that's why Jesus came. He says, well, I came to this earth to fix the mess that you've made of your life. And if you balk at that, if you don't think maybe you've made a mess of your life, self-help Jesus will help to identify the areas in your life that need some work and some improvement. And the longer that he talks, the more you realize he's beginning to sound like Dr. Phil or Oprah. He leaves you with 25 steps, 25 things that you need to do in order to atone for your sins and to be made right with God. He does it all with a smile on his face. Now, it's easy to see why some people get taken in by this counterfeit, the self-help Jesus. Because there are a lot of us that want that. We want Jesus to come in and fix our lives, to tell us what we're doing wrong, what we need to be doing better. We want a Jesus that's kind of a glorified life coach. We want Jesus to come in and tell us, you know, what do we have to do in order to be better parents, better husbands and wives, better co-workers, better leaders? We want Jesus to straighten this all out for us. And that desire to be a better person tomorrow than you are today, it's not a bad desire, which I think is why this Jesus is so tempting. Jesus actually does want you to become a better person tomorrow than you were today. But Jesus didn't come simply to make you a better person. So self-help Jesus gets up and he leaves. Counterfeit Jesus number two comes in and joins you at the table. This is the one option among many Jesus. He sits down and you ask him that same question you asked the first Jesus. Why did you come to earth? One option among many Jesus. His answer, like the one before it, sounds about right initially. He says, well, I came to earth to show you the way. But as the conversation continues, you realize that the one option among many Jesus, he really didn't mean that. What he meant was he came to show you a way. As he continues talking, you realize he doesn't really think there's a whole lot of difference between his way and the way of Muhammad or Buddha or Gandhi or any other religious guru that has gone before him. He tells you with a straight face that all spiritual roads really just, they lead to the same place. They'll all lead to God. Yeah, no worries. Just as long as you're genuinely seeking God, as long as you're trying your best, all these roads are going to lead to the same place eventually anyways. And it's no wonder in the society at this time that we happen to live in today that so many people are taken in by this counterfeit Jesus. Because following this Jesus is easy. You don't have to worry about the eternal fate of your neighbors. Because after all, this Jesus has told you that all these roads are, in essence, leading to the same place. You don't have to worry about taking a stand and saying, this way is the right way, and these ways are the wrong way. None of that is necessary. But Jesus, the real Jesus, didn't come to this earth simply to give you another way to God. So counterfeit Jesus number two gets up and walks out. And then walks the third and final counterfeit Jesus, the genie in a bottle Jesus. He sits down at the table with you and you ask him your now well-traveled question, why did you come to earth, genie in a bottle Jesus? And of the three answers you've heard, this is by far the most appealing. He says, well, I came to earth to make sure that you're happy, to give you your best life right now. You know, all that you need in order to have all of the things that you want is enough faith and the courage to ask. And ask again if you don't get it right away. Just believe that it is yours and it will be. And it's no wonder that so many people get taken in by this counterfeit Jesus. Because he's promising something that secretly in all of our hearts we want. the things that we desire in that instant that we desire them. But Jesus, the real Jesus, didn't come simply to give you your best life now. It's Jesus, the Jesus that we know from the Gospels. He answers this question, why did you come, in a very different way than all of the other counterfeits that are out there. In the Gospel reading for today, Jesus asks his disciples very succinctly, who do you say that I am? Peter, of course, is the guy that is quick to respond. And he's commended for his initial answer. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But as that conversation continues, after where our reading leaves off for today, she realizes that Peter's idea of who the Messiah is, or is to be, and who Jesus truly is, those were two different things. Because as that conversation continued, Matthew tells us this in his gospel. He says, from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day raised. In that verse, Jesus answers that question for his disciples. Why have I come? He says to his disciples, I came. I'm going to Jerusalem. I will suffer there. I will die. And 3 days later, I'll be raised to life. And you all know what Peter's reaction is. He rebels. He says, no, Lord, this will never happen to you. The reason Peter has that reaction is because he's got in his mind a different Messiah than the one that is standing before him. Like so many other Jews in his day, he's looking for conquering Jesus. He's looking for the Messiah that will come in and will overthrow the Romans, that will reestablish the kingdom of Israel, the physical kingdom of Israel here on this earth. He's not looking for the Jesus who's standing there before him, the one who would, in just a short time, be standing before Pilate and say, my kingdom is not of this world. Peter wasn't looking for that Jesus. It's the real Jesus. He came to bear the weight of the world's sin on his shoulders. He didn't come to give you 12 easy steps to atone for your sin and to make yourself right with God. All of that was taken care of when Jesus, hanging from that cross, said, "It is finished." And from that moment on, it was. And neither did he come to simply give you one more option among many to get to the Father. This Jesus came and told his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nor did this Jesus come to give you your best life now. Jesus very clearly told his disciples, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. The reason Jesus came, the ultimate reason he came, was to forgive sinners, to forgive you and I, to call us out of this world to be God's children. And by God's grace through your baptisms, that is what you are. This question, why did you come? It gets asked and answered over and over and over again in the pages of Scripture. The Apostle Paul answered this question, the same question for his good friend Timothy in his first letter. And this is what he writes. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Don't be taken in by the counterfeits. There are plenty of them out there. Jesus, the real Jesus, came to forgive you. And through his death on the cross and his resurrection, he has. In Jesus' name, amen.